Welcome to the Carlin Laid Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.
Now, Sean, last show we talked about the AFL and the SNFL. What about local footy in the Boston Light and Gawler? Have you heard anything about what's going on there?
I haven't heard a lot. I know that they're up and running, and that's about as far as I can tell you. But I know that you're the expert and you're over everything related to the Brosser Light Gawler League. So I'm sure you can fill us in, can't you? Don't be shaking your head saying
you're giving me too much credit. I mean, I used to be more having my finger on the pulse. But
they're up and running, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. They are. They're playing a reduced season. They were originally set out for each team to play each other once and then have a final system where the minor premier goes straight into the grand final. And then the second and third team will play like a preliminary final to see who would meet them in the grand final.
Okay, so how many rounds have they now had?
Well, just a week before the season start, Freeling pulled out of the A and B grade because of the various problems that they had. So as a consequence of that, it became an eight-team league. But unusually, they kept the bye in place, and whoever was playing Freeling also had the bye. So most weeks, every week except for 1 week, you got basically two teams that have a bye. For argument's sake, South Gawler didn't play in the most recent game, and then next week they're due to play Freeling, so they don't play for 3 weeks.
That's interesting. So you would think maybe it might still be beneficial to redo the draw, do you think? I mean, if you take Freeling out and you've got eight teams, then you can... Or is that a bit late now, do you think?
I think it's too late now because of the shortness of the season and everything. But, you know, if they could have done it and each team played each other, they could have finished the season a week earlier and then had a top four.
Yeah, that makes sense. But it must be hard for organisers this year. Like, because you're trying to work around all of those things that COVID-19 has thrown up, trying to make sure that you can do things safely to meet all the requirements. So I'm sure the people having to administer the league have had many things to think about and deal with. They probably didn't. It must be hard, too, for clubs. I mean, obviously, Freeling, that would have been a tough decision not to play a season. That would be a really big decision to make.
But one of the problems was the fact that Freeling's juniors and even their under-14 girls were playing. So I suppose the machinations of working out a program where the teams that had the bye played each other would impact the junior system as well.
It would, because obviously they normally, do they normally play at the same places?
Yeah.
So you can get that following going.
And the netball, which isn't...
Yeah, so netball aren't going ahead.
I don't believe so, no.
And that's an interesting... Why would netball not play? Have you heard anything about that, like the decisions behind not playing?
Well, there was a period of time where various footy teams and netball teams and organisations were pulling the pin. They wanted to call it early because of the unknown factor about what's going to go on with the COVID-19. The netball pulled the pin early, whereas the BLNG sort of sat down a little bit, and at one stage they were going to pull out, and then when they worked it out that they could have played half the season, they decided to play half the season. So I suppose it was, everyone to their own, and I suppose with the BLNG, they had enough players to make it a viable competition. So whichever way you're going to go, it's going to just be very disruptive for clubs, for players, for everyone. So you've still got to take your hat off to the fact that these people have tried to keep a season going.
Oh, for sure. And that's obviously people want to play their sport and people want to watch people play their sport. So, but again, very difficult situation. And it must have an impact. I mean, the clubs, obviously it costs money to run the competition. And so the club's revenue streams must have been hit pretty hard. Like, are they bringing outside players in, like import players, so to speak, or are they just playing with their local talent?
Well, imports could play, but there's a salary restriction. You can't pay players this season.
Okay, so... right, okay, it's interesting. So people just have to make the choice that they support the club that they've been part of.
Yep.
And so what have you been around like in terms of who is playing? Like, has there been a bit of movement, or have players who, like, there were some pretty high level players playing previous years, have they come back, or are they just...
Well, I've seen a few familiar names. There's even a couple of ex-Tigers have come back to Gawler Central, like Molyneux and players like that. And as a consequence, Gawler Central has won their first two games.
Okay.
So, and I've noticed that Gloucester Districts, Wiswick is playing, and a few of those guys. So I've seen a few familiar names throughout the team. So I would suggest most players that were due to play this year, except for the real expensive imports, are playing.
Okay, that's good, because it's a fine line, isn't it, between having people that you're paying that are high calibre, but then having people who are also going to support the club.
Yeah.
Because what if you're trying to build a team and trying to build a culture, you want people who are going to hang around for a number of seasons, not come in for a season then disappear, which sometimes happens with those high-level players. That's the nature of the game. But I guess if clubs can keep them and they can become part of their group, then that's always a positive.
Yeah, the scores were interesting. The first week, the three Gawler teams won. So Gawler Central, they beat New Ulpta, who were one of the higher teams over the last couple of years, by 35 points, played at Newey, and South beat Kapunda by 25 points. No real surprise there. Willesden beat Gloucester District by 42 points. That sort of made me, stand up and take notice. I'm a bit surprised with that result. Tanunda had the bye, and Angleston were playing Freeling. So the two grand finalists from last season weren't playing the first week. You get to the second round. Angleston played Newey and won by 27 points, which is kind of similar to how Gawler Central beat Newey. So you're looking at Ango and Gawler Central being right up there this year. Gloucester District, after losing to Willesden badly the first week by 7 goals, come back and beat Tanunda by 31 points. So, yeah, sort of makes you wonder where the competition's heading, the inconsistency. And Gawler Central beat Willesden by 77 points, which... Wow. A little bit of a surprise, and you know, like I said, South Gawler had the bye. Kapunda were playing due to play Freeling, so that's the first 2 weeks that they've played. Round three, Freeling are playing South, so South get the bye for the second week in a row. Gloucester Districts has the other bye. Newey are playing Kapunda. Newey should win that, you'd think. Tanunda are playing Central. Well, that would be a real test. I think Central will win that, but that will really show how much, you know, Tanunda is the type of team they were last year, where they won the flag. That'll be a real telltale sign. And Willesden are playing Angleston, another big test for both teams. Then sort of the following week, Freeling have the bye, so you've got four games. Angleston played Tanunda, Gawler Central played Barossa, Kapunda played Willesden, and South Gawler played Newey. So, you know, the higher top three, four teams could be sorted after four rounds, or the cat could be put among the pigeons, depending on the scores.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? We're finding even in other competitions around, like even from the AFL point of view, this season has been so different. And like, you don't know, you can't really pick it. Like, it's hard to know. Like in the past, you sort of had a pretty good idea of how the teams are going. We knew how the pre-season went. We knew how people had recruited. And, of course, now the same thing's happening here. I mean, were you aware of, like, training-wise? Because I imagine, like, the clubs would have started at their pre-season and would have been up and running. But did they – I mean, what was the deal? Like, because at many points, if they weren't going to play, and there was a lot of talk about not playing at all, did clubs just pack it in for a while, or were they actually still out training?
Well, they were training as individuals, obviously. But as far as team training goes, when the restrictions started to lift, they were able to go and train in groups of 10, which was for all people. So obviously the clubs did that as well. But it's still, they've basically started this half season without any pre-season or real trial games. And so that may be why it seems so inconsistent, because...
And that, like, that inconsistency, I wonder if it's a good thing. I mean, like, you talk about Angleston, for example. Now, Angleston haven't been high flyers for while in footy, have they? Is that fair?
Last year they were minor premiers and they lost the grand final, which was their best performance since they've been in the odd grand final, but they haven't won a flag since about 2003 or something. It's been a while.
Yeah, and so this, it might bring teams in who have struggled a little bit and actually give them a foot in the door and that confidence then to, and in terms of if you have I know it's a shorter season and a different season, but if you have a better season, it might then give them opportunity to attract different players and so on for next year. So it could actually really change things around quite drastically, I wonder.
Well, look, you know, I was looking at the SNFL and Central Districts after five rounds haven't won a game, but they're only 3 points out of the top four. And I'm thinking to myself, gee, that's how close the competition is. And Centrals won't make it. Centrals will be one of the bottom teams. But the fact that they're still within, you know, shooting distance of making the top four, you think, wow, you know, in any other season, if you lose your first five games, you're basically...
You're in trouble.
You're in big trouble. But, yeah, it's unusual. But, I mean, even in a neighbouring league, the Adelaide Plain Footy League, now, they've had 7 teams for a long time. Virginia, Two Wells, Manilla, Balaclava, United, Hummocks, Eagles, and Hamley Bridge. And Angle Vale joined that league from the amateur league a couple of years ago. Well, because the York Peninsula type competition isn't going, Butte, who plays in that competition, has joined the LA Plains competition this year.
That's interesting, isn't it?
So they've got 9 teams. They've got more teams than what the BLNG are playing.
And the York Peninsula are not playing at all?
I believe that's the case. I haven't really gone into checking at all.
It would be pretty unusual. I guess, again, it's unusual circumstance. Be unusual for a team, would it be, from another league to change?
Well, it used to happen a lot in the old days. I mean, teams like Williamstown and Lindock used to come in and out of the Gawler League and the Bossa League, and then there's other teams that... come in and out of the Adelaide Plains and the Gawler League, teams like Virginia and Two Wells, even Hamley Bridge played in the Gawler League. So and there were other leagues as well that were close by. So teams did switch competitions, but since the Boston Light and Gawler was formed in 1987 with the BLNG, the Boston Light and the Gawler combining, it's been fairly steady. I mean, a couple of teams like there was Yadunda were in it and Lobbiston Town, but they've gone over to the North East League nowadays. They were in the early years. But basically, since Gloucester District came in around about 1990, it's been basically the same teams ever since.
Okay. Well, Freeling, is there any issue with Freeling not playing? Like, has the BLG said, look, we understand what's going on? Because I imagine there would be a lot of pressure for all clubs to field a team. So has there been any talk? There's no consequences for that, I hope?
Not that I've heard of, but in these unusual circumstances, you have to be flexible. You have to be understanding because, you know, at the end of the day, half the leagues aren't playing anyhow. So, what are you doing these... unfathomable times. It's just you can't make hard and fast decisions on whether you exclude a team for next season because of what's happened this season, because Freeling are a unique club in a unique area where it's very difficult for them to get men on the field of the calibre of a Gawler team, for argument's sake, because they just don't have the population base. So as a consequence of that, they have to get people from other areas. Now, with the way the pandemic has affected people, that would have been very difficult because they would have had to do the recruiting a lot earlier. But Freeling have got a reputation for being near the bottom a number of years and then coming up every now and again. So you don't know where their head is with this, but it looks like they just did not have the players. And they couldn't afford to go in there and be hammered by 30 or 40 goals if they didn't have the personnel. It just wouldn't be good for the club.
And what's the deal with spectators? Like, I know we've been seeing that at different levels, more and more people allowed. And so, obviously, spectators getting to the local footy is a big revenue stream. And so, what's the deal with spectators for the BLG?
Well, my understanding is they're following the COVID-19 sort of rules for this state. And I believe it's free to get in, and there's restrictions, and all the clubs have to adhere to the COVID-19 rules and regulations.
Is that in terms of like people per space, yep. Like volume,
yep.
Space?
Yep, and if they've got certain things in place, like the SNFL this week went to 3,000 people, whereas Glenelg didn't, because Glenelg overworked COVID-19 safe, so to speak. They hadn't reached those rules and regulations. They just hadn't done it. But the worst thing for the clubs was that it was 1,000 people to the weekend's games. On the Friday, the day before the games, the announcement came out they could have 3,000. Very difficult for them to get the message out to get the people. And as a consequence, none of the games on the Saturday had more than, they were all less than 1,000 people.
it's a constant change, isn't it, at the moment? And so well done to the BLG for getting the competition up and running, and let's hope that the rest of the season goes to plan.
Yep.
And all of the clubs get a good opportunity to show what they're worth.
Well, we'll review it in a few weeks' time just to sort of see how things are going. But so ends another Carlton Lade Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.